Oh, shit. I'm before Dalty.
What's up, buddy?
I thought I was going to be after Dalton for once because I was busy raging on Twitter about the Department of Player Safety. But apparently I could do that and beat Dalton on. So man, I'm pretty stoked.
The text messages just take a little while to get up here.
Yeah, that's what it is. They gotta make it. They freeze a little bit once they cross the border.
Well, you know, all those immigration controls and stuff, eh?
Exactly. They gotta make sure they don't have any fresh produce or wine.
I also imagine that Dalton probably has an iPhone, so he probably types with one or two fingers at once, like a teenage girl. Just imagine.
Well, I mean, I totally do. You're right, but also, I just copy and paste the link. That's what it is.
I can tell because your snaps are always the exact same. Like your face is exactly in the same position. So you've probably taken like 30 pictures and discarded 29 before you send it.
Bro, I've gotten to the point where I don't need to discard 29. I nail it first try every single time.
First try, yeah. You get that prime pose going. You just up click. You're like, you know what? Good enough.
Absolutely. You know it. People see my face enough. You already know what I look like. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Welcome everyone to episode 19 of South of the Blue Line. Boys, this is gonna be a long one. So normally, when I have my little book of all like the stuff we're gonna talk about or whatever, I'm using two pages. Because the way I'm thinking if we're going to do it, since the NHL trade deadline's been about a week away, it's been over a week, we'd run through that first and then we can run through last week's games. If that works for everyone.
Yeah.
All right. So, last week, we finished with, I believe, the Lovejoy Carrick trade. But we mostly talked about the Duchesne trade. Correct? That's where we left off?
Yeah, that was the big boy one.
Yeah. Okay, so then, I guess jumping right on the horse, Columbus acquires Ryan Dzingel, a 2019 seventh-round draft pick, for Anthony Duclair, a 2020 second round, and a 2021 second round. So Dzingel and a seventh round for Duclair, and two second rounds in 2020 and 2021. How do we feel about this one? Both to Columbus. So Columbus is now loading up.
Yo, I love this trade just because I hope it sparks a little bit of a trend of teams going much more all in at the trade deadline because it's just so much more fun, dude.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even worried about now they're rolling. Like, their top two lines are basically 50% UFAs at the end of this year.
I hope they make it. I really do.
So I feel like the draft and develop part of me thinks that this is the most stupid shit that I've ever seen a team do, because I don't think, I mean, and I think you guys will probably agree with me, I think it's a long shot for Columbus to like win the cup or really make a lot of noise in the playoffs, although this obviously gets them closer. And so they're letting, you know, they're going to let Panarin walk. They've got these other guys. They've given up a lot of their prospects and picks. So they're really like putting all their eggs in one basket. So part of me is like, this is beyond stupid. But then you look at what teams like Vegas have been able to do, where they've basically been able to like mold their roster by picking these guys up and kind of re-signing who they want. And I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, Vegas is great. But, you know, they've only been in the league for 2 years and they're still doing pretty well. So maybe this is a shift in the mindset in the NHL to where people are going to try to do more via trade. And that would be pretty exciting.
Well, I think like these UFA players, their value has been every year. It feels like people are valuing prospects and draft picks so much more every single year. And for good reason, too, if you're seeing the guys that are jumping out of the draft, right? But I almost wonder if it's gone too far to the point where these UFA guys are starting to get a little bit undervalued. So maybe we'll start to see a little bit of a shift back towards them.
Yeah. So then my question is, because what I was seeing is people weren't very happy with the return. I mean, so first off, it's Dzingel and a seventh round pick from Ottawa. For Duclair, who's been jumped around, I believe this is his fifth team in the last in the last five, like, and then two draft picks in not this year's draft. So people are a little bit upset with the return for that. So, I mean, how do we think that, I mean, Ottawa did in the return?
I mean, I don't hate it.
There's something wrong with Duclair.
Yeah, he's got all the skills, but none of the brains.
Do you think, because like Tortorella, when he was in Columbus, like he was saying like he doesn't listen and he's lazy. And like, so do you think there is some, I mean, obviously there's a little, when there's smoke, there's some fire. So, I mean, do you think he might be having some issues?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't listen to Tortorella for anything, but you know, the fifth team in a guy's young career says a hell of a lot more than that, I think.
Yeah. What is he, 22 right now, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's more than like a lot of players go through their entire career. But like, the reason team taking him shots is he can play at the end of the day.
Well, so, I mean, if you look, like, he's played four games with the Senators, I think he has 3 points, 2 goals, and an assist. I mean,
yeah.
He scored in his first game as a Senator.
Yeah, there's no denying he's got skill and talent. So, like, I think this is definitely the kind of guy Ottawa needs to take a risk on right now. But return-wise, I think at the end of the day, it's a pretty decent return, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so moving on to the next one. The Dallas Stars acquire Matt Zuccarello from the New York Rangers for a conditional 2019 second-round pick and a conditional 2023rd. So now this trade goes through, and I'm like, wow. The Stars are getting off with a steal because that is a pretty good deal for them. They didn't give up a lot. They got, like, a pretty solid player that will help them immediately. He plays one game with the Dallas Stars. I'm pretty sure he has a goal and an assist, and then he breaks his arm.
Just heartbreaking for him.
Yeah.
I think his arm was pre-broken. I think that they have to, like, cancel the trade.
Yeah, yeah. It takes these backsies, you know.
Well, I'm really glad it happened to the Dallas Stars. I'm not glad it happened to Matt Zuccarello because, you know, I would never wish injury on anyone, but I hate the Stars, so.
But I love the Hobbit.
Yeah, did you guys see the video of Lundqvist's interview after he left?
Yeah, that was a pretty sad one.
Heartbreaking. So those of you who don't know, Lundqvist and Zuccarello played together for like 12 years. These guys were like best friends. He gets traded. The reporters ask him about it the next day. And Lundqvist, at first when they ask the question, Lundqvist looks at him and I thought that Lundqvist was going to yell at him, like, oh, why are you asking me that? Like, leave me alone. But Lundqvist gets choked up and like starts crying. I'm just like, oh, my heart. And Lundqvist is such like a suave guy. I'm like, no, who hurt you?
Yeah, it's a lot of the times, yeah, the personal side of the game really gets lost, right? And
yeah,
at the same time, it is a business, and these guys are so well paid because of the kind of hardships they have to go through. So,
yeah, it was. But I mean, the video, I felt for Lundqvist. So obviously, with his broken arm, he's out for a bit. I mean, the Stars are in a playoff spot at the moment. But do you think this tips, if he comes back for the playoffs, does this, I mean, tip the needle in their favor? Do they make any more of a push in the playoffs because of it?
I mean, it's gotta help, right? But I don't think the Stars are where they're gonna go very far in the playoffs at all. Like, I'd be shocked if they make it out of the first round.
Okay, so then my question is, does Zuccarello go back to the Rangers at the end of the season?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what the conditions are on the picks.
Yeah. One of them is on if the Stars make it to the Cup final, I think.
Okay, so one of them's not going to happen.
And then I think the other one might be on if he resigns or not.
Yeah, so I mean, this could be a complete wash of a trade. If they get knocked out in the first round, if he resigns the Rangers don't lose any picks. The Stars don't lose any picks, and he goes back.
I got to jump in. The conditions, like the second and third are guaranteed already, but the conditions would push him up into being first-round picks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so okay. This deal could end up costing the Dallas Stars 2 first-round picks.
Wow.
At the end of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, Or it could cost him a second and a third. It's
okay.
Or any combination, right? So
okay, I understand. But okay. I mean that changes things a little bit, but I mean
apparently New York's saving up their money to take a run at Peranan. Don't hate me on how I say it. That's how his name is said.
Okay, all right.
In Canada, I swear it's my accent. And also Carlson, so they're gonna have money available to at least take a shot at Zuccarello again.
It's very true, and I'm sure Lundqvist will be pushing to bring him back. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on, we had a couple of deck chair shuffling. The Los Angeles Kings get Spencer Watson for Matheson Lacapelli, never heard of him. Toronto Maple Leafs get Nikolai Baptiste for future considerations from the Preds. Blah blah blah. All right, so then the Buffalo Sabres acquire Brandon Montour from the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for Brendan Gaule and a 2019 first round draft pick. So the Anaheim Ducks bring in a prospect and a first round draft pick in exchange for Brandon Montour to the Buffalo Sabres. I actually love this move on the idea of the Buffalo Sabres.
I'm a little surprised the Ducks made this trade, to be honest. Like, what? I don't really like. They're starting to retool a little bit, I guess, but also at the same time, they're trying to keep their core together. So it's a little. But I don't feel like Montour is the kind of guy you really want to move if you're trying to do a quick little retool.
Especially because he's one of their young up and coming defensemen.
Yeah, exactly. And should be noted as well, it wasn't Buffalo's first. I'm pretty sure was it Pittsburgh's first? I want to say that went back.
Hey man, you're on the filler train today.
Oh, I'm just operating on the old memory bank, so who knows?
Chris, what do you think about this?
I have no opinion.
wonderful input. Good content.
Well, look, I'm not going to make shit up. I don't care. All right.
Fair enough.
Don't worry. When I have something to say, I'll say it. You won't be able to stop me. So.
We know.
Yeah. I mean, Dalton, you have anything else to say about this one?
I think Buffalo wins the steal at the end of the day.
All right. I'll take it. All right, Chris, do you have an opinion on who do you think won?
No.
All right. Wonderful.
It was a wash. It's fine.
Okay. Then we got more, another small deal. All right, here we go. San Jose Sharks acquire Gustav Nyquist from the Detroit Red Wings for a 2019 second-round draft pick and a 2020 conditional third round. So the Sharks are also continuing to load up. And this is another one of those deals where I look at it and I'm like, y'all are so close to the cap, but, man, Gustav Nyquist looks good on your roster.
Yeah, I feel like he's definitely just going to be a rental, though.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, I think it's a pretty solid deal for both teams, you know, classic selling, buying at the deadline. So,
yeah. All right. Then the Columbus Blue Jackets, who had a ton of moves, acquire goaltender Keith Kincaid from New Jersey in exchange for a 2022 fifth-round draft pick. So my question, so obviously they're bringing in more goalies because I feel like they're expecting Bobrovsky to also leave. And he has played relatively well, especially on a New Jersey team that's been porous on the defensive side. My question is, how do you think the GMs get to like the end of this trade? They're like, they call him and they're like, all right, I want Kincaid. What are you going to give for him? And then eventually, how do you work to a 2022 fifth round pick? I'll give you a 2021 seventh. No, that's too much. 2022 set. No, come on, you gotta help me out. All right, 2022 fifth. There we go. Perfect. How did we get there?
Well, I think the GMs figured they'd both be fired by that time, so it won't matter anyways.
Oh no. All right, moving on. All right, here we go, Chris. I'm sure you'll have an opinion on this one. The Winnipeg Jets acquire Kevin Hayes from New York Rangers in exchange for Brendan Lemieux, the 2019 pick, and a 20 conditional fourth. And I believe last week you were saying, oh, yeah, we're starting to mold Brendan Lemieux to being our next Brandon Tanev. So that aged well.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I think that's what his role was going to be on the team had he stayed. I've also heard some grumblings that there was some issues in the Jets dressing room and also that some of that might have been Brendan Lemieux. So none of that's official. It's just stuff I've heard here and there. So who knows if that's the reason that we moved him. I do know that Chevy really doesn't like to move assets that he believes in, and that's evidenced by the fact that we basically dropped out of the Stone sweepstakes because I believe that Ottawa was pressing really hard on Jack Roslovic, which we do not want to lose. So, you know, I didn't want to lose Lemieux. I still think Lemieux is going to be a good player, but if I think that, like, team culture, like team, like personality and the vibe in the dressing room is extremely important to the Jets organization. So if Lemieux didn't fit, then I think this is, you know, he was a great player to include in a trade.
So then do you feel like, so you're okay then with the, what the Jets gave up? Like, you lose your first round pick this year for sure. And then a conditional fourth in 3 years doesn't really matter, but so are you okay with giving up what you did for Hayes?
Well, I mean, you have to give to get, right? And Hayes is a big center. I've already really liked his game in the couple of games I've seen him. And our first round pick this year is going to be really low. So yeah, I do like the deal.
Yeah, I'd agree with Chris. I think this is a great deal for the Jets. This Kevin Hayes seems to be exactly what they need. So yeah, it's a good one.
Well, I mean, we heard that they were connected to, you know, kind of all the big kind of not, I mean, Hayes was definitely more a power forward, but like, you know, Stone, Hayes, like they were kind of looking for that kind of person, you know, they weren't looking for like a Matt Zuccarello, they were looking for that big center. So I think that, I mean, like you said, Chris, that's going to be a low first round draft pick this year anyway. So I feel like you saw what you wanted. You didn't want to give up Roslovic, so you went with the other guy, and it sounds like, I mean, both sides are pretty happy with what they got. So I'm saying good hockey deal, to be honest.
Chris, do you think that they're going to re-sign Kevin Hayes?
I sure hope so. I don't know, man. I think he's going to command good bucks on the market, right? Can the Jets fit him into the cap? I doubt it. I think it's going to be the same situation as last year where, you know, they really liked Stasny. He fit really well with the team, but at the end of the day, you know, are you going to pay all those dollars when you've got like so many people who are looking for new contracts? Maybe the fact that Laine has kind of been off and on this year, maybe that frees up some dollars somehow, but I don't.
Yeah. All right. Montreal Canadiens acquired Jordan Wheel from the Arizona Coyotes, Michael Chaput. Another small deal. I actually really like this deal for the Canadiens. I actually have liked Jordan Wheel for quite a while. And the Montreal Canadiens are always sore for good centers, so he'll be a good little center for them. All right, Carolina Hurricanes get Thomas Yurko from the Florida Panthers for
Thomas Yurko.
All right, Thomas Yurko. That's why the Hurricanes got him. They want as many jerks on their team as possible. Hey, he's okay. Thomas Yurko for the Florida Panthers for future considerations, and then they flip Cliff Poo for future considerations the other way. So another small one. Flames get Oscar Fannenberg from the Los Angeles Kings for a 2024. All right, Blue Jackets acquire defenseman Adam McQuaid from the New York Rangers for Julius Bergman, a 2019 fourth and a 2019 seventh. So, I mean, we definitely know who the sellers are at this deadline. It is definitely Ottawa and the Rangers, exactly who you'd expect it to be.
But I'm shocked that they got that much for McQuaid.
I am as well that they got that much for McQuaid. I don't understand what the Blue Jackets – I mean, so, all right, you bring in Duchesne. Got it. You brought in Dzingel. Okay. Kincaid, all right. But I don't really see, everyone – trades before this one, I've understand what they were looking for and like what they're trying to address. I didn't understand what they're trying to address here, because I felt like that Adam McQuaid doesn't make their defense better.
Yeah, I think he's just mostly a depth piece, kind of the same as Kincaid. I think, like, you know, protecting themselves in case what happens if Bobrovsky's out for the next 6 weeks or something like that, right? At least you have a little bit of a tandem in Korpisalo and Kincaid that you can rely on, right?
Yeah.
Well, so I think this is just straight up just a depth piece in case of injury.
Yep, yep. All right. San Jose acquires Jonathan Dahlin for Linus Karlsson from the Canucks. All right, here's a bit of a bigger one. Boston acquires Marcus Johansson from the Devils for a 2019 second and a 2020 fourth. Boston is, I mean, Boston's also loading up. And I like this one for Boston, actually, as well. They bring in kind of a bit of a cheaper guy, but, like, he's skilled. He's had a bit of injury issues, but, like, when he's on, he looks pretty damn good. And he definitely helps kind of shore out their middle six.
And, yeah, if Boston's going to beat Tampa, they need more help than they had already. So this is a good ad for them. But I don't think it's enough to really, you know, put them as the favorite in anybody's mind.
Yep. All right, Chris, here's a big one. And this is actually a big one for me, too, because I love this guy. The Winnipeg Jets acquire forward Matt Hendricks for the Minnesota Wild for a 2027.
Hendo! Gramps!
I mean, this is exactly what you, I mean, people are like, oh, culture doesn't, or locker room culture doesn't pay that much of isn't that big of an issue, or like, and you look at the Oilers, like, people are like, oh, the locker room, like, the culture doesn't matter as much, like, but, like, the Jets are paying a seventh round pick to literally bring someone in. I mean, Chris, do you think Hendricks will, like, ever play?
It doesn't look that way, no.
Like, they seriously just brought him in to sit in the locker room and make everyone happy.
Honestly, great idea. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a lot to say about this. So the first thing is on my chat board, my hockey forum that I chat on, that acquisition got more pages of comments than pretty much anything we did except for Hayes, which makes me laugh so hard because people were in a fucking tizzy about this. They think that, you know, Maurice can't be trusted to have this player and he's going to play all the time. And, like, it's the most ridiculous thing. People also don't, like, they really want to follow all these new advanced metrics that we have in hockey, like X Corsi and Guar and whatever the fuck else there is nowadays. But all of these, like, methods of measurement do not account for the psychological impact that hockey is, you know, it's impacted by, and there's so much. And one of those things is, like, do the players like each other? You know, can the players, like, relax? How do they get rid of the pressure on them? And a guy like Matt Hendricks does all that for them, and it's been shown. Like, look at the teams he's played on. Like, they have more fun and they do better.
Well, yeah, if you're waking up in the morning excited to go to your job, right, you're going to perform better. It's just human nature straight up. So I agree with you a bit there, Chris, on the fancy stats thing, but I think there's still a lot of value in adding fancy stats into the game and having an analytics department. But it doesn't mean that the entire game is just analytics and fancy stats, right?
Well, a little bit of a balance. I feel like it's in the sense of, like, you can have all the fancy stats you want. It's how you apply them, right? Mm. Like, you look at Matt Hendricks and fancy stats aren't going to add up, but that's literally not what they're bringing in, right? If you're looking at, like, acquiring, like, maybe, like an up-and-coming defenseman or something like that, right, that you're going to actually try and play or something like that, then maybe you want to look into, like, the analytics side of, like, his defensive game or something like that. But, like, if you're looking at a guy like Matt Hendricks, like, that's not the guy you're going to apply analytics to. That's not what they're bringing him in for.
Yeah, very much a heart and soul player.
Exactly.
And also a fan favorite too, which can't, like, be understated, right? Like, I was so happy when he went back to the Jets.
The fans are happy, the players are happy, the coaches are happy, he's happy. It's I mean, and you guys have a seventh round pick in what, 2020? Yeah, right. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, it's not like he's gonna be Henrik Lundqvist.
Right.
Yeah, I think most of people were really they mostly were upset. They thought that Maurice was gonna start playing him, and obviously, you know, on our team, especially, Matt Hendrick cannot get anywhere near the ice. If he's playing in a game, we've got serious problems.
Yeah, they might give him, like, a game or two down the line just to, you know, get him on the ice again or something like that. But yeah, I don't expect him to see any playing
just,
time, really.
Just so he can hit hit the limit so he can get his name on the cup.
Yeah, exactly. Get that ring.
Exactly. All right.
I also think we spent more time talking about the Matt Hendricks trade than literally any other trade.
Yeah, for the most part. All right, the Colorado Avalanche acquired Derek Brassard and a conditional 2020 sixth round from Florida in exchange for a 2023. So it's funny because you look at trades made around the league and, like, you look at the McQuaid trade and they're giving up, like, a second round pick in 2019 and all that stuff. And in my opinion, I'd take Derek Brassard over Adam McQuaid any day. And, like, what the Colorado Avalanche gave up to get Derek Brassard wasn't that much.
Yeah.
So,
like, go ahead. Yeah,
go ahead, Dalton.
No, Chris. I was just going to make a joke, so you go ahead.
I'll make a joke. I love your jokes. They're so awkward. And then you laugh.
Just like that. No, go ahead, Chris. It's fine.
Basically, I was going to say, like, so if you look at the trade in isolation, it's obviously a pretty good value for the Avalanche for what they gave up, the player they're getting. However, and I don't think it's bad to, you know, ever add depth, especially if you're going to make the playoffs. And obviously, like, Colorado's pushing to do that. But my question is, you bring a player in like that, and they're like a top six forward, who is that taking away from, right? There's a whole different question now. And if that player is taking away ice time from maybe a younger player or somebody who's more impact to the game, then you actually probably, like, you know, you're taking away from your roster, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. This was actually an interesting one because this is actually – it's happened a few times this year. I think this is the third time this season it's happened that a player has been traded, and then the next day or the day of that they've been traded, they're playing against the team they were just traded from. So, like, Duchesne did it when he was traded to Columbus. He played the Ottawa the next day. And this actually happened the day of. Brassard showed up in Colorado with the Panthers to play the Avalanche. He got traded that day, and that night he scores a goal against the Panthers, which I thought was pretty funny. All right, now the Pittsburgh Penguins acquired defenseman Chris from the Florida Panthers for John Sebastian Day. Still more than what the Oilers got for him. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know what Pittsburgh's trying to do with their defense. It's awful, and I don't think this makes it any better, but that's fine.
Yeah. The Canucks acquire Tanner Pearson from the Pittsburgh Penguins in exchange for Eric Gabranson.
Oh, yeah. This is also another awful deal for Pittsburgh, I think.
But I don't know. Like, they're literally like, yeah, we need grit and size. And so this is one of those ones where I'd be like, look at the fancy stats. Eric Gabranson. Not good.
He also doesn't pass the eye test either. He just doesn't look like a good defenseman.
Yes, all very true. All very true. So I think a good one-for-one deal on the Vancouver side of it.
He's like Eric Bad Branson.
Ooh, God. Oh, God.
Boo!
All right. We got some more small moves. And then we got the Nashville Predators get Mikael Granlund from the Minnesota Wild in exchange for Kevin Fiala. So I think this is this is an interesting one because I like Fiala quite a bit. He's young. He's fast. He's got a lot of skill. Granlund is also really good. But, like, I think Granlund is what he is, and Fiala has still so much of a ceiling to go for.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, no, I do not like this trade. I mean, I love it because I hate the Predators, so they made themselves weaker, so all the power to them. But bad trade. Like, I mean, in the immediacy of it, you know, the Preds have been playing pretty poorly, and Mikael Granlund's a really good two-way player, so I think he's going to help them, like, now and for the next couple of years. But Kevin Fiala is a special player, and I don't know. I just think it was Minnesota made themselves much better with this deal.
I honestly disagree with both of you. I don't have a lot of love for Kevin Fiala in general.
Really?
I don't think he's going to pan out to even being as good as Granlund is right now. Like, I think his ceiling isn't quite there.
You know, these podcasts are stored forever, right?
Yeah, and look, remember the Carey Price prediction they made at the start of the year?
Can you bookmark this moment in time, please, Mike, so we can go back and
later. All right,
dude, that's probably not even the stupidest thing I've said this podcast already.
I mean, you're not wrong, pal. You're not wrong.
Hey.
All right, so then Winnipeg Jets get Alexander Broadhurst from the Columbus Blue Jackets for future considerations. Let's take 20 minutes on this.
Honestly, great depth sign. I don't even know what position he plays, but put him in net.
Chris, you know anything about him?
No fucking idea.
Okay, perfect. All right, the Vegas Golden Knights are Mark Stone and forward Tobias Lindbergh from Ottawa in exchange for Eric Brandstrom, who was one of their picks, forward Oscar Lindbergh, so two Lindberghs being swapped, a 2020 second round pick.
Finally, we get to it. We've been teasing it for the last 30 minutes.
We have. So the big three for Ottawa has been shipped off, and the last one is going to Vegas. So how do we feel about this one, boys?
Well, Vegas is looking a hell of a lot better, to the point where I think my prediction for who's coming out of the West is either the Jets or Vegas at this point.
Oh, we switched it a little bit.
Yeah, I thought Calgary might be winning a little bit more, but I'm pretty sure Jets Vegas for the Western Conference Finals. Book it.
Dude, that'll be a hell of a Western Conference tough matchup if that does happen, especially from last year.
Bro, I'm so ready. But also, like, value-wise, I think Ottawa did pretty decently. You would have liked to see another first round rather than a second there, but it's kind of like they're playing the market for all they could get, right, for so long. So this is a pretty decent haul.
Well, they picked up Eric Brandstrom, one of Vegas' best prospects. So, I mean, you could argue instead of getting the first round pick this year, you're getting someone who's a little bit farther up in their development who was a first round pick.
Yeah, and he's looking sick. Like, a lot of people are saying the best defenseman who's not in the NHL right now is what I've heard a couple times.
Exactly. So, I mean, give him a year, and then you can pop him up there next to Thomas Chabot, and look at that. Now you have, like, a bona fide top two.
Yeah, that has all offense, no defense. It'll be sick.
You don't need to play defense when you have the puck.
Yeah, exactly. That's why fancy stats exist.
Exactly. And honestly, Mark Stone, going to Vegas, like, their top two lines look great now. I mean, that first line of Pacioretty, Stastny, and Stone has looked really good since it's come together.
Filthy.
Yeah, so, and then you keep together the Riley Smith, William Carlson, Jonathan Marchessault line.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, it's looked real good.
Does McPhee win GM of the Year?
Well, I mean, there's the saying that GM of the Year award is the Stanley Cup, so I think you kind of got to look at that.
I mean, but they do the prediction before, or they do the votes before the playoffs actually start, right? So,
yeah, I mean, it's hard to not give it to him. Just, I mean, look at what he's done in 2 years with the Golden Knights. But also, like, if, like, let's say Columbus goes and wins the Stanley Cup this year, and Duchesne and DeZingle have, you know, like, 30 points, and Keith Kincaid wins the Conn Smythe. I mean, it's pretty hard to not give it to, right, Kekalainen at that point.
But the votes are done before the playoffs start, so the votes are already in at that point.
Okay, so you would give it to McPhee right there?
I think if Yzerman was still the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, I'd give it to him again, and I keep giving it to him every single year. But I think this year, McPhee, yeah, sure, give it to him.
Can I go a little off the tracks on who I would give it to?
Hot take territory?
Marc Bergevin.
That's a big hot take territory.
Oh, come on. They were supposed to be garbage.
Huge hot take territory. Like, if anything, you got to give it to the GM of the Flames.
No. I will die before I do that.
Or I could argue the GM of the Jets, who I forgot his name. Or you could give it to the GM of the Nashville Predators. Any one of those ones before the Canadians.
I mean,
Keith Gretzky before all of, for the freaking.
I don't know. I think Montreal is. I think Bergevin is right in the conversation because he has made substantive changes to that roster, and not like not like little tweaks either. He's like moved key players around and brought in guys that have performed very well for the team. And whether part of that's luck or just really good advanced scouting, I don't know. But yeah, he's got to be in the conversation. I don't know about the Knights. I mean, like obviously last year, no brainer to put together a team in expansion that performed that well is really great. But you can't give him the award this year for what he did last year. You have to base it off of where the team was last year and where it is this year, which is significantly worse. I don't think running out and getting Stone and giving up a guy like Brännström is necessarily a great GM move. I think that's a guy who like had fantastic success in his first year and he's trying to capture lightning in the bottle. I don't think the Knights are going to be in the final. I think that it's way more likely that the Blues will be in the final or the Preds will be in the final as opposed to the Knights.
All right. I mean, anything else we want to say about this trade, boys?
Oh, is this about a trade?
Five minutes ago or so.
I mean, we started there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. I don't think it's – I think they gave up too much. It depends on – how long did they re-sign Stone for?
Eight years.
Yeah, that makes it better, but I still like – like, you look at the way that the Knights roster is built, and it's not like there's no, like, team-owned products in that lineup, really. And so to start trading away those products, I don't know. It's that becomes a juggling game, and I don't know how long you can keep that up. Especially with the salary cap.
Yeah, I understand. For sure. A little fun thing about Stone is now that he's playing on a line with Pacioretty, right? They both went from playing to Ottawa and Montreal, respectively, and they've hated each other. Pacioretty said after their first game playing together that he never thought he'd be cheering for the guy. And at one point, Pacioretty scored, and Stone comes over to the huddle. And he said he almost put his hands up because he thought Stone was out of reflex because he thought Stone was coming in to hit him. All right, so then moving on. The Winnipeg Jets get Par Lindholm from the Maple Leafs in exchange for forward Nick Patan. Chris, I'm sure this shuts up a lot of people.
I'm delighted just because Nick Patan no longer is on a Winnipeg Jets roster and people can't whine about him not being in the lineup. Although Parr will be in the lineup tonight, most likely.
Yeah, so I'm actually surprised that the Leafs made this deal because, like you said, like Nick Tan hasn't been very good at all, and Parr Lindholm, I mean, for the most part, has kind of been in and out of that. But like he's been doing a decent job at fourth line center for the Leafs. So I mean, I was kind of surprised that they did it.
It's actually smart. I think it's because Patan is one of those fancy stats darlings, even though his like real stats, as in goals and assists, aren't really there. His underlying metrics are pretty good, especially considering minutes played and who he's played with and stuff like that. So I think that maybe the Leafs are taking a chance on him, knowing that at some point they're going to have to trade like Marner or like Nylander or somebody because of this. That fucking beyond stupid deal that he did for Jonathan Tavares. So this is the problem with signing a guy like Jonathan Tavares. And I'm not going to go on a raging rampage about this again. You guys know how I feel about it, but it really does hurt your long-term lineup. You've got a declining player now that you've signed for many years when you could have younger players playing for a lot longer and a lot cheaper. It's just stupid. But anyway,
Dalton, you got anything else, buddy?
No, it's good.
All right, moving on.
Do you not believe me, or do you not like agree with me? If you don't agree with me,
I agree with you, Chris. I definitely agree with you. I mean, it's hard to. I mean, I understand why the Leafs did it. Like we've already talked about the Tavares thing in length, multiple episodes. It's hard to, like, for me, like, if I'm seeing Tavares on the market, Tavares is an unreal player. And, like, it'd still be hard for me to stay away from, especially knowing that it's your hometown team. It's John Tavares. Like, if you're Toronto, you're sitting in that steps. Like, I know that, like, you have young players, but how do you not got at John Tavares?
Yeah.
It's like if you're a crack addict and you got a big ball of crack sitting there in front of you. Yeah. How do you avoid smoking some of that crack? Well, you can smoke that crack, but it's going to kill you in the end. So maybe don't smoke the crack.
John Tavares
is crack.
Is crack, can confirm.
Yeah, dude, I just love crushing up some star hockey players, snorting a line of some, oh shit, some Lucic got in there. That was awful.
Oh, dude. I mean, just think. Like,
an OG for sure.
I got to blow my nose, dude. One sec. Oh, that was awful.
All right. The St. Louis Blues get defenseman Michael Delzato from the Anaheim Ducks, 2019 sixth round pick. Delzato sucks, so I'm not sure why the Blues would do that. Does anyone have anything else?
I know. Go ahead, Dalton.
Oh, I was just yelling depth.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, look, you know, in order to make it in the playoffs, you need a lot of defensive depth because you're going to lose like four defensemen probably if you go any distance. I think it's a really good move. I mean, Delzato's got a lot of NHL experience. He's somebody you don't maybe, you know, you don't want in there playing a prominent role, but he is somebody that it's better than like an unknown in there, right? So I don't know. As a depth move, I don't mind this.
So for a sixth round pick, you don't mind?
Not at all.
Yeah. Okay. So then, sixth round
pick, man, would you have Delzato on your team?
No.
No.
Well, okay, but the Oilers don't really count right now because all they have is number 7-8 D-man, and he's another 7-8 D-man. So it's like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh.
7-8 D-man for Delzato?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a number 6, but like that's kind of pushing it almost.
I don't know. I see him playing a regular role on the Oilers for sure.
Oh, I'm sure he'd play a regular role. I just wouldn't be happy to ever see him in that regular role.
Yeah, it'd be like kind of how I feel about Benning right now. It'd be like,
I mean, Benning's in the lineup. Yeah. And like, I mean, I guess he's the best we have, but goddamn, is he bad.
Yeah, it's like, I way rather have something better, hopefully, to put there eventually. So,
yeah. So, okay, so my question, because that's the only move that the St. Louis Blues did on trade deadline. Do we think St. Louis is legit?
I think St. Louis is sort of legit. I think they're, like, as legit as people thought they were at the start of the season. Like, I think this is them kind of regressing towards the mean where they're going to finish, end up being, I don't know, second or third in their division, around that area.
Yeah, and man, has Jordan Binnington looked good.
How long can you keep that up, though? That's
Listen, I agree. I mean, like, it's one of those things because, like, man, I thought Andrew Hammond was going to be Vezina winner for the next 12 years, and where is he anymore?
Exactly. Like, is this the start of, like, a Carey Price-esque career, or is this the start of an Andrew Hammond career?
Exactly. I agree. Okay, so then we got two more deals, and then we can move on to the rest of the thing. We've literally spent 45 minutes on the trade deadline.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Oh, wait. The Winnipeg Jets acquired defenseman Nathan Beaulieu from the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for a 2019 sixth-round pick. So, same this is basically exactly what you were saying, Chris, except I feel like Beaulieu is better than Delzato. It's the same price to pay for it. So I think the Jets did much better in the sense than the Blues did. So what do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the first two games that Beaulieu's played in isolation, he's played on the top pair with Morrissey out with alongside Trouba, and he's played really well. He's played a simple game. He's adapted to the Jets systems really quickly. You know, he looks not out of place one bit.
And I'm sure that the coach loves that. And anytime a player can pick it up something fast, especially defensemen, coaches love seeing that.
Yep. So, I mean, I think it's obviously a good deal for the Jets. And once they start getting some bodies back, now we've got some really serious depth for a playoff run. So
yeah, it's good. Of course. I mean, it helps you guys out now while they're out. And then once they start coming back, you can start bolstering the back lines. All right, and then the last deal of the day, the Nashville Predators acquire forward Wayne Simmonds in exchange for Ryan Hartman and a conditional 2024. This deal.
I think it was a good deal for them.
See, I really like Hartman. I actually, for some reason, I really like those couple of forwards that got really good with Chicago, and then Chicago had to move because they want too much money. So that's Hinostroza that went to the Coyotes, Schmaltz who went to the Coyotes, I really like, and this is like the third one out of those three that I really like and wish the Oilers would get one of. And so Ryan Hartman is one. I mean, I really like Ryan Hartman. He looked really good with the Flyers in his first couple games, but I mean, it's hard to argue with what Simmons brings to the Predators now.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a win-win trade for both teams, right? Well, one side gets a little bit more experience, the other time gets a little bit more youth and upside potential, so it's, yeah, a good mix.
And I mean, Chris, you saw Simmons play against you guys yesterday, so I mean, how did you feel? Like, did you notice Simmons at all? Like, how do you feel he played with the Preds?
I mean, I saw him get all angry and barky. That was really nice. I think that the Predators made this move directly as a chess move against the Winnipeg Jets because the Jets forwards group is so big and strong, and they wanted to counteract that. Even though I feel like guys like Phil Forsberg and even Arvidsson, like, even though they may not be like physical grinding players, they have got definite grit to their game. They're not scared to go into the corners to retrieve pucks. They're very strong. Like, you can see the reason that Lowry got suspended was as a direct result of a really nice finish check by Forsberg. Like, Forsberg's a fantastic player. And it makes me want to vomit to say that because I hate the Predators. But I don't know. I think losing Hartman, I really hated playing against Hartman. His speed, his forecheck, he could do everything pretty well. He was a real bee in the Jets' bonnet. So I don't know. I think it's almost like shuffling the deck chairs for me.
All right.
The one thing I will say is that, like, the one positive that Simmons will bring in the playoffs is just his ability to, like, score those, like, dirty goals that you score in the playoffs, because you're not really scoring a ton of finesse goals in the playoffs. So he's a guy who's going to get in front of your goalie, cause havoc, tip the puck, slam rebounds home. So in that respect, I think that, you know, they made a good deal for the playoffs. Did they make a good deal going forward into the season? I don't think so.
Yeah, he's going to be Nashville's Patrick Hornquist, if you will. Because that's basically all Hornquist does, is just slam in gross grease goals and make about it. Anyways, so that's the trade deadline wrapped up, boys. So do you think is there a clear winner? Is there a who won the trade deadline? Can we give the crown to someone? Who do you guys think?
I'm going to give it to the Oilers for not selling everybody for nothing. Good job, Keith Gretzky. Well done.
All right. Chris, who do you give the crown to?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. It's tough to say. I would say the Senators, just because they actually managed to get rid of the three players they needed to, and they really, like, set themselves up with some good assets for the future.
I'm going to say the Rangers, because they sold off quite a bit, and I feel like they got actually better returns for the lower-value players that they sold off than the Senators did. Maybe a little bit of a hot take, but I'll take it.
I don't disagree with you. I think they did well at the deadline, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there were a ton of games this last week, so let's just fly through them. First off, shout out to Dalton for not getting any of the questions right this last week.
I'm so good.
I actually won, so that brings me within striking distance. Yeah, within striking distance. The score is currently 5 for Chris, 4 for Dalton, and 3 for me. Okay, so first game of the week. The Edmonton Oilers play the Anaheim Ducks without Connor McDavid, the first game of McDavid's suspension. We won. And I believe Josh Curry, his first NHL goal. So that was fun.
It's a good game.
Good game. Nice to see. All right. Next game. The Jets lose 4-1 to the Arizona Coyotes.
It was a bad game.
Yes.
Reopening wounds.
Sorry, buddy. I mean, anything else you want to say about it?
I think the Jets needed to go through this, so I'm glad it's happening like 18 games before the playoffs. I think it's the perfect time for it to happen.
Yeah, yeah. All right, then second game without McDavid, the Oilers lose 3-2 to the Predators in a shootout. Dreisaitl scores two goals, I believe, that game.
Yeah. Dreisaitl was a beast while McDavid was out.
Dreisaitl has been a beast the last, like, 15 games. He's unreal.
Well, and he's up to, I think, third in the scoring race now?
Yeah, I mean, 40 goals. I mean, that is he might hit 50, man.
You know what? The Predators game, it was a good game.
Hey, I enjoyed that game. I mean, the Predators, I think, definitely deserve the 2 points. But without McDavid, I will definitely take getting 1 point from the Predators all day.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure I predicted them getting, like, absolutely shit-kicked. Or maybe I predicted the Oilers winning because I'm a moron. But
let's look. Against the Predators, that's game three. You predicted a 3-0 loss.
All right, yeah, yeah. So, went way better than expected.
Yeah, I would say I was happy with the result. All right, then the Jets lose 3 to the Wild, and this was a hard one because the Wild scored the tying and game-winning goal very close together and within the last 2 minutes of the game. Like, it was a bit of a collapse there, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it was a series of unfortunate events without Lemony Snickets.
Oh, yeah.
So the Jets, I thought the Jets played a really good game. So unfortunately, as you guys know, like when a team kind of falls into bad habits, it's not like you can just all of a sudden flip a switch and start playing great again. It takes some time. And I think the Jets were already starting to show signs of life. And they, I think they played a lot more of the Jets style game in this game. Zucker is a diving piece of crap. And he did a diving piece of crap in the third period. He was in front of the net. Myers gave him a light shot, and he went down like he was shot with a sniper rifle. And that led to the power play, which led to the tying goal, blah, blah, blah. So I thought the Jets played well. It just really was unfortunate the way they lost. But
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's one of those games where you're like, man, we were on top of it, and then they end up losing like that. And it just kind of leaves like that bitter tasting wrath that us Oilers fans know all too well this season.
Yeah. And, well, you know what they say as well about, like, when teams have losing streaks and winning streaks, right? At the end of the losing streak, you start to get back into the games a lot more. That the games becomes more that you've lost when you should have won at the end of losing streaks.
Exactly.
And then kind of like the reverse thing for winning streaks, right? You're winning, but you have those bad habits creeping in, so you should have been losing at that point.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so then the Oilers then go and play Toronto in Toronto.
Can we just skip this one?
Season. We can't, unfortunately.
God, no.
I was so hyped up for this game. I was like, McDavid's coming back. It's in Toronto. Let's freaking go. And then Dreisaitl scores highlight reel goal to make it 1-0. We're absolutely shit kicking him.
First period was awesome.
Up and down the ice. They tie it up in like the last minute of the first period. And then the second period starts and I won't even say the wheels fall off. Like the car just exploded.
Yeah, I turned off the TV.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, but I went on a bit of a rant on Twitter. I went on Twitter Live and yelled.
Yo, Taylor sent that to me.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Chris, did you see my Twitter rant?
My
live Twitter rant when I posted a video about when the Oilers got absolutely destroyed by the Leafs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give her a listen. Give her a listen. My sister sent it to me. That's how you know it was good/bad.
I was very upset. It's like 2 minutes long, and I was just yelling. So I mean, yeah, it was a rough game. So then the next day, the Oilers then try and bounce back versus the Senators, and much better game. We beat these very bad Senators 4-2.
Yeah, it was a nice, like, it was good to see the team actually rebound after a loss, even if it was to, you know, two different complete calibers of team.
No, I agree, but knowing the Oilers, it's nice to see them win games that they're, like, supposed to win.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so then the Winnipeg Jets go and play the Nashville Predators, and the Predators were beating the Jets 3-0. Is that right, Chris?
No, it's incorrect. 2-0.
2-0. And the Jets game 5-3. Mark Scheifele, I think, had 4 points.
Looked terrible doing it. I mean, terrible. I think they're terrible, but he's definitely not Mark Scheifele right now. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. What do you think about the game, Chris?
The Jets played a magnificent game. They were really unfortunate to be down 2 goals. It's one of those things that happened, you know. And I thought that even though they were down 2 goals, they were playing just the way they should be playing. And it was a fantastic game. Brassois was awesome.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. Brassois had some highlight reels. He actually wasn't supposed to start that game. What happened to Hellebuck? Fantasy team.
I think he's got the flu.
Okay. So he won't be out.
So they bring crazy eyes for a game.
Okay. All right. That's not too bad. All right. Then
does everybody know what crazy eyes is? You guys must know.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. What was that?
I said, you know who crazy eyes is, right?
Crazy eyes. It's Zach Cassian.
No, Eric Comrie.
Oh, Comrie is crazy eyes.
Oh my
also
God.
Zach Cassian.
Also is that. As well,
Cassian is like the kind of guy where if you see him in a dark alley, you just turn around and run.
Yeah, Cassian looks like he eats people's skin.
Yeah, like you could tell me he's a literal cannibal, and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like something he'd do.
Listen, I was in like a brief moment when I met all the Oilers or whatever, no big deal. Was in like a little lobby with him, and I watched him as he pulled out his fake teeth. And that was pretty terrifying. I thought I was going to die right there. Comrie's not going to be up, though, for very long. Is he, Chris? He's probably already back down.
I haven't seen him move down yet. I don't know if he's dressed as a backup today, but probably. I mean, if Hellebuck had the flu, he's probably going to be out for another game, but we'll see.
Yep. All right, so then the last game of the week, the Oilers go and play the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are actually, considering all the players they just acquired, and it might just be that they have a bunch of new players, so they're all trying to, get acclimated and stuff like that, so they're not playing as well as they could be. They lose 4-0 to the Oilers.
Yeah, they look like that was the kind of game where I don't think the score necessarily represented exactly what went on the ice. Like, it felt more like it was like a 3-2 kind of Oilers win game. The Blue Jackets definitely had some pushback, especially later in the game.
Yeah.
But that one shift, oh my God, dude.
When Zach Cassian gets knocked down by a shot, gets up, leaves the ice, McDavid dangles a jock off of two people, feathers a backhand soft from behind the net to Draisaitl, who then, on net, fires a purposefully missed shot on net for Josh Curry to tip it in for a second.
It was... Oh my God, that entire shift was just insane. That's probably one of the best shifts I have ever watched in my life. Yeah, like, pure dominance.
It was an incredible shift. Shout out to Josh Curry. 4 points.
Yo, I'm loving his game too. He's just making smart plays all over the ice. He's fast.
It's cool to see people play with confidence no matter how the rest of the team is doing around them. Because you can kind of tell how it's – because, one, he's playing with Lucic and Cave, and that line has looked really good.
Yeah.
He's doing, just little things. In one of the games, I watched him, he toe-dragged from, off the boards. And, most Oilers on right now, aren't going to have the confidence nor the skill to be able to do that. So just to see people do, just little things, just, little skill moves just here and there, I'm like, that makes so much of a difference in a roster.
Yeah. His gap is off the charts. You can tell, if you don't know much about Josh Curry, he started ECHL. He played there for a while. He worked his way up to the AHL. He worked there, worked hard, and now he's finally getting a shot in the NHL. And you can tell he's taking it and he's going with it.
He's not letting it slip away. Yeah,
just all heart with that guy, and it's awesome to watch him.
Yeah. So that were the games for the week. Now we can quickly move on to the few little news notes I have. So the first one is: have you guys John Tavares. Just a little story. Did you guys see the John Tavares video that the Islanders fans released the day before he played?
Oh God, that's the most cringeworthy thing I've ever seen.
Chris, have you seen it?
No.
Oh, John, you were the chosen one, and you betrayed us.
So basically, Chris, it's like a 5-minute video of fans basically calling John Tavares a snake and how he was like literally Jesus Christ who like left them stranded, sort of thing. Like, it is so bad.
But we don't need you. We got the kid with the Calder.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I don't know why they were like using that, like he insulted him. Like, if John Tavares called me the kid with the Calder, like, I'd be pretty happy because, you know, I won the Calder.
Also watch the Steve Dangle video?
I did, yeah. I did. So then, during the Islanders-Leafs game, Chris, you had to have seen some of this. They threw a jersey at him. They threw plastic snakes on the ice. Every time he touched the puck, they booed. They started chants of Barzy's better. People were wearing custom John Tavares 91 Trader jerseys or Pajama Boy jerseys.
Yeah. And then the Islanders just whooped them, too.
And then the Islanders crushed the Leafs 6-1.
Oh, yeah. There's some Who's Your Daddy chants going on. That was my favorite, I think.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I understand it, though. I understand it because you got a player who, like, they draft and he becomes this superstar and – you know, he's going to be the guy who's going to bring your team to the cup, and he's committed, and he's like, and then all of a sudden he just like leaves the team. Like, I understand the fans' kind of resentment. And hey, it's fan base. They decided to do it. So it's not like the team organized this. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, when this happened, like John Tavares going to the Leafs, you expected something like this was going to happen, right? Maybe not quite to this like scale because the Islanders themselves being this good is a little bit of a surprise, but that game was just so much fun to watch, especially since I hate the Leafs so much.
It was a really good game to watch. Here's the thing that I didn't understand. So the Leafs play a back-to-back against the Oilers and then the Islanders. Just based on what I told you there, knowing where the Oilers and Islanders are in type of team and standings, who would you play your starter against?
The Oilers.
I guess. Like
guarantee the 2 points.
Really? That's what you would do?
Yeah. Mostly because I don't really – for Toronto, I don't think their backup is the greatest.
No, that's what I'm saying is why wouldn't you start your starter against the better team?
Because I think Garrett Sparks could have lost the game versus the Oilers.
I think he could have, but also the Oilers are one of those teams, like what happened last year, is you go play Curtis McElhinney and he gets a shutout.
That is also fair, and I think it's like the age-old kind of like question. Do you want to guarantee the 2 points, or you want to try and go for all four? And I think that the Leafs probably make the right decision in just trying to like absolutely dominate the Oilers, which is what happened, and then kind of betting on maybe losing the second game, especially since they had a couple injuries to their D and playing their backup goalie. So might have been a little bit of trying, like, guaranteeing the 2 points and then, like, basically not caring about the other 2 points.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I think Chris got bored. we'll move on. So the Ottawa Senators announced that they have fired their head coach Guy Boucher on Friday, and they have replaced him with the interim head coach Mark the Walrus Crawford.
This entire Ottawa thing is just my dude. I think Brian Burke put it best. Did you hear what he had to say?
I did not.
He's like, it's like a cheap horror film from the 90s where you know what the bad thing is that's going to happen. Like, the guy's going to go downstairs and going to get murdered, and you keep yelling at him not to do it, and you can't stop watching. And then he goes and does it. He just walks downstairs and gets murdered.
Yeah, it is a tire fire right now in Ottawa. I mean, so they get all their picks and stuff back, but I mean, how long do you think it's going to take for them to get back on track?
Their on-ice stuff is like, it's not too bad, but it's this off-ice stuff that's got to stop. And I honestly don't think it's going to until Melix is gone. Like, under his ownership, this team is going to be bad pretty much forever.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so then there are – I got 3 things left, and 2 of them I'm hoping Chris comes back for. I guess we'll start with the first one, and that we don't need Chris for. Jakob Silverberg signed with the Anaheim Ducks for 5 years.
Yeah, I think we talked about this earlier when the deal was confirmed but not actually signed.
They couldn't say it yet because they didn't actually have the cap space.
They needed to wait till March 1st for something. Like, there's some sort of special thing about March 1st. Like, the same reason that the Stone deal, they had the extension in place, like, as soon as they, like, traded for him, right? Yeah. But they didn't actually officially announce it until the 1st.
Yeah, and this is one of those ones where I'm like, Anaheim Ducks, what are you doing, pal? Because...
Yeah, it's like, are they rebuilding or are they not rebuilding?
Yeah, I mean, Silverberg is one of those players, like, you could have gotten, like, a pretty decent return for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's the exact kind of guy you send out if you're trying to retool.
Exactly.
Or if you're trying to even rebuild. Like, he's who you send out. So are they going for it still?
No, they're out of it. I mean,
it could also be a case of, like, they're just trying to keep a guy who they like on the team, right? Just straight up, just like, you know what? Maybe if we sign this guy to a long-term deal, we can send him to somewhere else in the offseason. But yeah. I don't know. I don't really get this deal either.
Yeah, it's definitely not been a good one for – I mean, there's been – first shout-out to Ryan Miller for becoming the most winningest American-born goaltender. That's kind of a good spot for the Ducks, but I just don't understand what's been – like, what direction we were talking about because we had three things left, and I kind of wanted one of them, at least one of them for you. We would prefer all of them, though.
Yeah, wait. Before we start, we got to give this part, like, a cool sequel name.
You're right. 2.0.
All right, I like it, boys. Let's go with, like, 2.0.1, just to mess with it a little.
2.0.1. Okay. So, Chris, once you dipped, we were talking about Jakob Silverberg re-signing with the Ducks.
Why would he do that?
Yeah, it was a dumb move. We were talking about how the Ducks definitely could have gotten pieces for him, and we just didn't really understand it. So then the next thing we were talking about is Jerome Ginla gets number 12 retired. I hate Jerome Ginla because he played for the Flames, but I can't really because, man, first off, he was an unbelievable person. And then I've got his HockeyDB open right here. He's got 1,554 NHL games played, 625 goals, 675 assists for 1,300 points, and 1,040 penalty minutes.
Yeah, I love this. I love Jerome Ginla. Like, I grew up, you know, in Calgary my entire life, pretty much. So watching him play my formative years, all watching Iggy during his prime. So
yeah.
Even though he was playing for the Flames the entire time, you can't help but love him.
Yeah, I mean, and then who's going to forget the 2010 gold medal where Crosby just yells, Iggy! And he gets the pass from that half forwards and wins gold. Like, that was incredible.
Beautician.
Yeah. And then on top of that, he's got an Art Ross trophy. He's got a rocket. He's got two rockets. He's got a Messier award, a Clancy award, and a Pearson award.
Should have had a heart, but let's not get into that.
Yeah. I mean, so shout out to Jerome Ginla, boys.
Yeah, Jerome the Gnome. I don't know why we call him that, but we used to call him that all the time. He's one of those guys that you play all the time and you absolutely hate him, but you can't hate him.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
He's just a top-notch guy. Edmonton kid, right?
Yeah, Edmonton native.
I always thought it was hilarious that, like, he was the Flames player, best player for so long, and he was from Edmonton, and Ryan Smith was the Oilers player, best player for so long, and he was from Calgary.
Trade him, one for one.
No, don't you dare. I love me by Smitty.
I've got a story about Ryan Smith, and I played with him once, but I won't bore you guys with that.
I actually have a quick Ryan Smith tidbit. At the Nashville game, there were Ryan Smith sightings behind the bench. And I was talking to my dad about it, and he threw out a very hot take that end of the year, Ryan Smith maybe becomes head coach.
Oh, God, please no.
You don't want it?
I don't want to have to hate Ryan Smith.
Yeah. See, that's kind of how I was feeling. It would be hard to see, like, if we, like, suck or something like that. Like, my big, like, because obviously you think about it the other way. Think about Ryan Smith wins the cup as the head coach.
Yeah.
But also, I also would hate to see them suck and then me be like, Ryan Smith, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I really don't want the new head coach of the Oilers to be a former player of the Oilers. Just no more of that, please.
I agree. So then the last piece of news, Adam Lowry suspended for 2 games for a dangerous slash to the head. Chris alluded to it earlier in the episode, and I saw some quick Twitter rant. So, Chris, what is going on, pal?
Dangerous slash to the head, yeah. Yeah, he really was really so dangerous. Yeah.
I mean, you look at the video, he definitely came off the boards and gave him a little whack.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the Malkin one.
What did Malkin get for that?
One.
And what else has Malkin done in his career that has been particularly douchebaggish?
Like, don't get me wrong. I think Malkin should have got another game on that.
Yeah.
And then why is it that Adam Lowry gets 2 games for that and Ryan Johansson gets 2 games for two-handing Mark Scheifele in the head while looking at him with intent? How is that the same?
Yeah, I agree, because we talked about that happened earlier in the season, right? Johansson two-hand chops him. Yeah, so I remember that. Johansson definitely like came down with like the axe, kind of chopping firewood on him, and Lowry just kind of gave him like a little flick.
Yeah, hold on just 1 second. Also, can you tell me why it's okay that Max Pacioretty hands Adam Lowry in the face with intent and doesn't even get a call? Can you explain that for me?
The Department of Player Safety is a joke.
We talked about this last episode with the whole McDavid thing. It's just, first off, there's no consistency, which is a big frustrating factor for most of us. And then on top of that, it's just, they don't even know. I feel like they're throwing darts and dartboard at this point on what they're giving players.
Yeah, just spinning that wheel. But on the positive side, it does give us something to complain about every week.
Very true.
There's enough to complain about. Come on.
It's a reoccurring segment on our podcast, though. We need some of those.
So, Chris, I mean, the other infractions aside, just taking the incident by itself, do you think the 2 games for Lowry was fair or not?
I don't know. Like, so here's what the Department of Player Safety said about the suspension. They said, while we believe Mr. Lowry that there was no intent to strike the player, it still hit him in the head and it was a dangerous play. You must be in control of your stick. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, fellows, but isn't every fucking high stick in the history of hockey from day one where you need to control your stick and you unintentionally hit somebody in the head with it?
Right. That's why the penalty was made.
So you have to decide. Like, here's my confusion. You have to decide. Did you think that Adam Lowry intentionally struck Philip Forsberg with his stick? If you believe that, then say you believe that. And I will say, okay, well, if you believe that, then the 2-game suspension is fair. Furthermore, if you're going to do that, you need to be consistent. I know we've argued about this, but even outside of isolation. So I don't think that Adam Lowry meant to hit him in the head with his stick. He may have been a little bit frustrated and swung his stick, which you do need to be you need to be in control of your stick. But is that a 2-game suspension? There's no intent.
See, I kind of believe there was intent, so I would be fine with the 2 games. But the thing is, the Malkin thing, there was 100% intent, and he got one game.
Right.
So it's like the consistency thing is just mind-boggling.
Right, and so that's the thing is, like, I agree. Like, I feel like looking at it, there might have been some intent, but then the player safety department comes out and says, we believe that he said that he doesn't mean to, he didn't have intent. So then if they're going to come out and agree that he didn't do it with intent, you can't give him 2 games, right?
Yeah, so it feels like it should be 1 game at that point.
Right, if you're going to give him the 2 games, then the player safety department needs to come out and say, well, we understand that he said he didn't mean to do it with intent. We look at the video. We think there's intent. You get 2 games. And then just be consistent about it. And then no one's going to complain. Like, Chris, if they came out and said, and I think you just said that, they came out and said, He says that there was an intent. We looked at the video. We thought there was intent. Two games. Boom. And then they did that for everyone. You'd be happy. You'd be okay.
100%.
Yeah.
So, 100%. Well, I'd be a lot happier. That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. All right. So now if we can just do our predictions. We had a bit of a long episode here, guys. We had a lot of stuff to go through. I mean, trade deadline, lots of fun stuff. And we got a bit of a quieter week. Only 5 games on the docket. So
I don't know what you're talking about. This podcast is only 9 minutes long so far, my dude.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. 2.0.1. That's right. All right. So the first game is tonight. The Winnipeg Jets play the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is actually a back-to-back for the Blue Jackets after they got trounced by the Oilers. So Chris, we'll start with you, buddy.
Hi.
How's it going, pal?
I think that they're going to come out pissed off, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think the Jets are rolling again. I think they're going to win this one. I think it's going to be 3-2 for the Jets.
3-2 win. Dalton, what do you think, pal?
I agree with Chris, yeah. I think the Jets are rolling. Columbus either just doesn't have that chemistry that they need right now, or maybe their goaltending's letting them down a bit. Either way, I think it's going to be a 4-1 win.
4-1 win.
Oh, bye, Chris.
See, now, here's the thing. I think Winnipeg's going to win, but I also need to make up some ground.
Yeah, but maybe you don't do it in a for sure game, you know?
Oh, you're saying this is for sure?
Like, I think it's, like, as much of a slam dunk as there can be.
Oh, you know what? All right, fine. The Jets are going to win this one 5-2.
All right, I like it.
5-2 win. All right. Then the Edmonton Oilers play the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow in Buffalo. Dalton, we'll start with you.
The Sabres, like, suck, dude. So I think the Oilers are going to win this one, and I don't think it's going to be, like, kind of close. It's going to be a 3-1 victory, let's say.
3-1 win. All right. I'm going to say the Oilers are going to win this one. I guess we'll go 5-2. You know, 5-2. Chris, what do you think?
Five three for the good guys.
5-3 for the good guys. Like to hear it. All right, now the Winnipeg Jets come to Tampa. Chris, are you going to be at this game?
I would love to be at this game, but wait, where is it? It's in Tampa.
It's in Tampa.
I think I'm in Winnipeg, unfortunately.
Oh, of course.
Kills me.
So, in Tampa, against the Tampa Bay Lightning, I'll kick this one off. I'm going to say the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to win this one 6-4. Mm. Chris, what do you think?
I think the Jets play the Lightning really well. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a Jets 3-2 win in a shootout.
3-2 shootout win. All right, Dalton.
I think this is our, you know, possible Stanley Cup Finals preview. Yeah, I think it's going to be a close one. I think it might be a little bit of a bloody one as well, honestly. But I think the Lightning are probably going to win it 4-3.
4-3 loss for the Jets. All right, and then the Oilers then play the Vancouver Canucks at home for the first time. They've been home for the first time in a little bit. Dalton, kick this one off.
Nothing good ever happens to the Oilers. Vancouver wins 4-0.
Jeez. I'm going to say the Oilers are going to win 3-1. You okay, pal? Who hurt?
The Oilers, man. Haven't you been listening?
Chris, what do you think?
I think the Oilers are going to lose 4-2.
Ugh. 4-2 loss. Yikes. And then last game of the week, the Winnipeg Jets play the Carolina Hurricanes in Carolina. We'll end with Chris. So, Dalton, what do you think?
The Hurricanes are going to skull clap all over those boys, but it's going to be pretty close. 3-2 Hurricanes victory.
3-2 Hurricanes. All right. I'm going to say the Jets are going to win this one 4-2. And now, Chris, bring us home, pal.
Yeah. For some reason, the Jets don't seem to play Carolina very well. So I fear that the Jets are going to lose this one 3-1.
Jets are going to lose this one 3-1.
Yeah. All right. The Hurricanes have been on a bit of a tear still.
They have. I mean, bunch of jerks. They got their round.
Right. Not jerks. What a jerky jerks.
I love them. I think they're like my maybe fourth favorite team right now.
Honestly, I hate the Hurricanes, and like I've hated the Hurricanes for so long for what they did to the Oilers back when I was a youngin', but man, is it not fun to watch. All right, boys. Well, that it has been a long episode. Yes.
So hold on, guys. You know, we didn't talk about a really important pickup by the – I think that's going to have an impact on the Jets by the time the season's over.
Oh, do tell.
They picked up Kislevich from the Florida Panthers for a seventh rounder.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, we did miss that one, pal.
Well, you know, you could get anything from a seventh rounder. You could even get, you know, a Henrik Lundqvist, a Pavel Datsyuk, something like that. So I think I know, Jets I mean, really lose this trade.
I mean, Chris, how do you feel about not having Pavel Datsyuk on your team? That's basically what it's like.
Yeah, you guys are hilarious. I actually believe that he's going to find his way into lineup sooner rather than later. It might even be next year, but I'm really high on this player, and I think that like Panthers fans were a bit stunned by this move. I think he's a good replacement for a guy like Ben Chiarot, who is kind of iffy at times. He's definitely like a seventh defenseman. And I think that Kislevich could, you know, project higher than that. He's a good stay-at-home defenseman.
So,
well,
is Kislevich kind of like your like unknown fave? Like, you know, everyone's kind of got one. They've got their guy that's in the minors and like that. You're like, oh man, I know he's gonna be so good. Is he kind of yours?
Now, I just like players that like just fly under the radar, and you know that your team can probably utilize them better. So even like a guy like Nick Petan, like I don't think necessarily on the Leafs that he was a good move for them. But if he would have got traded to the Canucks, I think that would have been a really good move for Petan and for the Canucks. But I really hate the Canucks, so I'm glad it didn't happen.
Well, I mean, for the Jets, if this this pickup for them, whose name I've literally already forgotten, ends up having any NHL time, that's a win.
Yeah. I agree. All right, is there anything else, boys? Any obscure players we want to talk about?
Josh Curry is my new favorite son.
All right, boys, so we've churned through a lot of content. We've got this is episode 18. Probably will be better known as 0.1. So you can follow us on SoundCloud, on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, anywhere you really want to listen to, on Twitter, at Blue Line South. I promise I will start writing on the website we have.
I actually am halfway through an article for it.
Are you really?
I had an English assignment, and you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to flip this into a little bit of a piece for the
I've been so busy. I actually am coming off back-to-back graveyard shifts, so my body's here, but my mind is not. So that is it, boys. I guess we will see you all next week. Thanks, everyone, very much for listening.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
See you, boys.
Bye.